When I was studying to become a priest a number of years ago, I took a homiletics class from a Dominican priest, which is interesting because I'm a Jesuit. He reflected with us one day that any good preacher must necessarily know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is different from knowing about Jesus. Knowing Jesus is different from knowing about Jesus. To illustrate his point, he told us a curious story that has always stuck with me. When he was in high school, he really wanted to date. He asked his parents if he could, but they said no. He was still curious about the experience of dating, however, so he went to the library and checked out books on dating and kissing, and he devoured those books. In the meantime, he asked his parents if he could date, and they repeatedly said the same thing, no. By his senior year, however, they finally said yes, and he was able to finally go on that first date, where he experienced his first kiss. My homiletics preacher remarked, I read all of those books about dating and kissing, but those books would never be a substitute for the knowledge I experienced firsthand when I was finally able to go on that date myself. The point he was making with respect to preaching, which I think applies to all of us as Christian disciples, is that our knowledge of Christ cannot simply be theoretical. It is a knowledge of Christ that comes through personal experience, as parents know their children, or how spouses, how a wife knows her husband, and how a husband knows his wife. In our Catholic Church, we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, whom we believe is very much alive and present in our midst. We believe that it's very much possible to encounter Jesus in our lives today. What inspires and gives life to our faith is the belief that all of us here can have that personal encounter and relationship with Jesus in our lives, and that encounter is not reserved to the saints alone. And it's this encounter with God and Christ that inspired the lives of our ancestors in faith, as we read in our readings today. Abraham in our first reading didn't simply have an idea of God. We hear today how God spoke to Abraham and vice versa. And it's from this personal relationship with God that Abraham was able to venture into the unknown in his old age, trusting in God's providence. As we hear in our psalm today, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Now we might say to ourselves, God doesn't speak to me like he does to Abraham. I'm not sure if I have access to God as Abraham did. During Vatican II, one of the key principles that came out of the church's document on the liturgy is the belief in the fourfold presence of Christ in the liturgy. And I love that because it reveals the richness of the various ways in which we can encounter Christ here in our worship. And one of the presences that the church teaches that is that Christ can be found in the hearing of Scripture. When we listen to Scripture, when the word of the Lord is proclaimed at Mass, when we say thanks be to God and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, the church teaches that we are not simply listening to words that were written a long time ago. At every proclamation of Scripture, the church teaches us that God speaks to each and every one of us in the here and now. And what God says to me might be different from what God says to you. An ancient form of prayer that has been practiced by Catholics for over 1,000 years is the practice of Lectio Divina. This prayer invites us to pay attention as we listen to Scripture. Perhaps there is a word, a phrase, a verse, or an image that catches our attention as we listen. This form of prayer encourages us to then pay attention. It's precisely what catches our attention, where we might encounter that still, small voice of God speaking to us, encouraging us, inspiring us. And as we pay attention, we sit with it for a while, and we prayerfully open ourselves up so that God might speak to us here and now. For example, when I listen to our readings today, I begin to reflect about the uncertainty that many of us feel in our city, country, and world, especially as the coronavirus begins to spread. Yet as Abraham trusted God as he ventured into the unknown, as the psalmist says, "Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in us." As Jesus told Peter, James, and John, "Do not be afraid." My own prayerful experience is of God telling me to trust in his providence and to love during these uncertain times. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Do not let fear be our primary motivator. In health and in sickness, God will always be with us if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. In our gospel reading, we hear today about this familiar and intimate encounter that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. Here, Jesus becomes transfigured before them, his face shining like the sun, and his clothing becoming white as light. Later on in the gospel, they hear the voice from heaven that repeats the same words that we hear at the baptism of Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen. As a Jesuit, another form of prayer that has inspired my own vocation as a religious is the prayer of Ignatian contemplation, a prayer that uses the power of our imagination. In this form of prayer, we are invited to use these faculties of our mind and to place ourselves alongside the apostles, for example, to imagine Jesus in his radiance at the transfiguration, as if we ourselves were there. But because we believe that Christ is alive and active, this form of prayer trusts that God can truly speak to us through this medium and allow our encounter with the Lord to become active and alive. Christian discipleship calls us to walk alongside Christ in our lives, and this form of prayer can beautifully help us to experience the presence of Christ come alive as we contemplate more fully the stories of Jesus in the Gospels. The beauty of our Catholic tradition, however, is that we have multiple ways through which we are called to encounter Christ. If these prayer practices don't work, we also have access to the sacraments, which by their very nature are meant to help us to encounter Christ truly. The sacrament of reconciliation invites us to experience Christ's mercy in our lives in the midst of our sinfulness and brokenness. And of course, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, we are called to encounter Christ in a very real and intimate way, and the coronavirus will not get in the way of that encounter. We receive Christ's very self, and when we say amen, we say yes to his real presence offered to us, which necessarily calls us then to be like Christ to others, so that others might encounter Christ through our very lives. When we encounter Christ, we become more deeply and intimately the body of Christ, and we are called to embody the presence of Christ to those in our midst. And during these times of uncertainty, how much more are we called to embody Christ to one another at this time, when we see stories in our news through which fear and hatred has caused so much harm as a result of the times we live in. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue our Lenten journey, as we soon approach the table of the Lord, may our Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving help us to know Jesus more personally and intimately, that in knowing Jesus ourselves, we may live our lives more rooted in him, so that others might recognize the nourishing presence of Christ in their very midst. Amen.